You're listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. In just over 3 weeks, American voters will elect a new commander-in-chief. Setting policy in Iraq and Afghanistan will be at the top of the new president's agenda. But as the Bush administration negotiates a deal to keep a U.S. presence in Iraq past the end of the year, Barack Obama is apparently doing some negotiating of his own. According to the Washington Times, Obama told Iraqi leaders earlier this year that any extension of American forces in Iraq should require congressional approval. And one report in the New York Post quotes the Iraqi foreign minister saying Obama did not want any new arrangement in place until the new president was actually in office. The Obama campaign denies that never happened. But how much influence should a presidential candidate have in something like this, if at all, and are Obama's ideas good ones? With me now to offer his analysis is Major General Paul Vallely, U.S. Army retired. He's also the author, most recently, of Blood for Our Future. And General, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, thank you for having me on.
Well, obviously, it's the Bush administration that's in power till January 20th, but at the same time, we know that either Senator McCain or Senator Obama will be replacing him, and whatever policy is in place for the next 12 months, they will obviously have to manage after that. But is it right or wrong for candidates who haven't won anything yet to impose their will on what the policy should be?
Well, it's absolutely against all principles of government, at least our government, Greg, to have candidates going off into the Middle East, especially in countries that are in a tentative stage of progress, such as in Iraq. And evidently, Barack Obama, according to Barbara Slavin, when Barack was in there visiting Baghdad and meeting with some of the Iraqi hierarchy, particularly Iraqi President Talabani. That was back in July. And according to the article, he tried to influence Talabani into not making any agreement with the current administration. Now, again, this was last summer. And until a new, in anticipation of a new Democrat being the President of the United States, this idea that the people like Pelosi and Reid can travel to terrorist states like Syria and try to influence, that external foreign policy is just not the way an effective government should run.
What kind of position does it put the Iraqi government in? They obviously have to work with the Bush administration now, and they don't want to potentially alienate a president they might be working with down the future. But at the same time, there's too many cooks in the kitchen. So how do they deal with that?
I would think somebody like Talabani is a very smart politician. And certainly they're going to play at this point in time, probably both sides against the middle. But realizing, of course, that it's unknown who's going to be the new president of the United States. So I think they're smart enough, Greg, not to put themselves in a position, at least until a new president elected, is to make any kind of those forward future type of agreements.
General, what about Obama's idea that any reauthorization of American presence in Iraq after the end of this year should require congressional authorization? We know that Congress kind of gets its authorization vote whenever the funding bills come up, but
right. What
about something like this?
Well, I think in that case, we'll have to see who becomes the new president, what the situation is in Iraq at that time, or any of the other countries that we're dealing with, particularly on a national security basis, that new government then will have to take the initiatives of that administration to effect any kind of agreements whatsoever. And Congress, again, provides the money. They raise the money. They provide the money for the government to do business. And particularly when it comes to national security, national defense. So everything, Greg, could change here very dramatically in the next several months, depending on who's voted in as our president. But this is a very delicate period right now. It's delicate for Iraq. It's delicate for what's going on in Afghanistan, in Iran. So we just can't have these rogue candidates and rogue politicians traveling all over the world trying to affect foreign policy. That's what our administration's elected to do, as well as the State Department. Whether you agree with them or not, it's Congress and candidates are out of place for trying to affect any change like that.
We're talking with retired Army General Paul Valley. And General, obviously, the current financial crisis has dominated the headlines and dominated the first two presidential debates. But national security is still a critical issue. The war in Iraq is a national security issue that's very important to a lot of people. What have you heard in those debates and on the campaign trail that you think people should pay attention to?
Well, you know, that they've not gone into any of these key national security issues in depth at all. I think the debates have been very ineffective, not well run. They certainly don't go along with a format that gets out and allows these candidates really to delve in deeply to each other's positions. So the American people, again, are void of what these candidates stand for. I mean, there's no question in my mind what they stand for, but, you know, the question's still out there. So we're going to have one final debate next week, and I'm not even sure I'm going to watch it, Greg.
Well, that one's not supposed to be about foreign policy. That's supposed to be exclusively about domestic issues. But
right.
If there were to be a question or two about Iraq or Afghanistan, and you could tell Bob Schieffer what question to ask, what would you want to ask these two candidates?
Well, the question I would ask them, what is your global strategy? What is your Middle East strategy, specifically of what we're going to do in this global war against radical Islam? And realizing that we are in a very precarious position, and if you read Dead Heat by Joel Rosenberg or any other great books that are out there about what's happening, our enemies are standing by. And they're going to look at our weaknesses, and especially our economic weaknesses now, our diplomatic weaknesses, and they're going to look at that. And if we don't strengthen up, Greg, and whoever's the president-elect, to put in good, qualified people that can take us into the future, we are seriously lacking of effective leadership across the board in Washington, D.C., in Congress, and I believe also in the administration. We need stronger leaders to take us forward. And I'm not sure either of these candidates, though I would say we have a lot better chance with McCain and Palin. But certainly, I think we just need the strongest leaders we can find. I'm not sure we have them, and I don't know whether we'll have them in the next 6 months.
General, unfortunately, on that somber note, we're going to have to leave. Thanks so much, as always, for your time today.
Okay, thank you, Greg.
General Paul Valley, U.S. Army retired. His most recent book is Blood for Our Future. This is Dateline Washington.